Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Annual Performance Outcome Report webinar. During the presentation, all participants will be in a listen-only mode. Afterwards, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. At that time, if you have a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. If you need to reach an operator at any time, please press star zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded Wednesday, February 10th, 2016. I would now like to turn the conference over to Adele Barr. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Taneva. Hello and welcome to the Annual Performance Outcome Report webinar. During our time together today, we will explore how to successfully complete the Annual Performance Outcome Report, also referred to as the APOR. And this will be for the period of January 1st, 2015 through December 31st, 2015. As our operator mentioned, my name is Adele Barr, and I will be leading today's session. So thank you again for joining us. At the conclusion of this training, you will be able to recognize your responsibilities regarding the APOR. Accurately and completely answer each question on the report before submitting it, and complete the questionnaire using SurveyMonkey. So these will be our goals and objectives for today's session. Every EN is required to provide information each year to the Ticket Program Manager, or TPM, on outcomes it achieved with respect to services it offered beneficiaries. Some information provided in the Annual Performance Outcome Report is used, along with beneficiary satisfaction data, to populate the EN report card. Now, completing and returning the APOR to the TPM is mandatory for every EN. And as per the EN RFQ, Part 3, Section 10B, an EN shall provide to the TPM on no less than an annual basis in a format which is prescribed by the Social Security Administration. Hence, here we have the APOR. Now, the APOR will be sent out to ENs later today. You will have 30 days to complete it and submit to the TPM by March 11, 2016. Your EN must only submit one APOR. The TPM will be sending out mass reminders each Monday until the submission deadline. So if you know that you have completed and submitted the report, you would want to, of course, disregard the weekly emails. It is imperative that your agency's APOR is completed in a timely manner, and failure to do so will constitute a violation of your EN's BPA and could result in the Social Security Administration limiting your agency's ability to assign tickets and to receive payments. Now, following this training, you will receive an email from SSAENAPOR@yourtickettowork.com. Now, this email will indicate that you need to begin survey, which is the APOR questionnaire. And before clicking begin survey, you would want to review the questions included in the APOR, and the questions will be available in the resource documents under Information Center on our website, yourtickettowork.com. Additionally, you may want to make sure that you're checking your spam if by the end of the day you haven't received the email, because sometimes it has a tendency to slip into there. So be sure that you're checking your spam as well. Now, when you first open the APOR, this is the first page that you will see. The intro page includes instructions for completing the APOR, and we will review these instructions now. Number one, review the resources for your assistant at the www.yourtickettowork.com website. Go over to Information Center and then to Resource Documents. Number two, review the 35 APOR questions. It is highly recommended that you review the APOR questions posted to our website prior to completing the actual APOR. Number three, what you want to do is prepare your responses. Preparing your responses after your review of the APOR questions and prior to entering the actual APOR questionnaire will allow you to research and gather the data needed to easily answer the questions on the APOR. Number four, complete the APOR. Once you have prepared your responses, enter the APOR questionnaire as provided by the TPM via SurveyMonkey and record your responses. Number five, submit your responses. Each EN is allowed to submit one complete response. Use the frequently asked questions to assist you as you complete the APOR. Now, if you have questions, you would want to email ssaenapor@yourtickettowork.com with the subject line APOR assistance. So again, you would want to send an email if you have any questions about the APOR to ssaenapor@yourtickettowork.com. Be sure to please use the subject line APOR assistance so we can attend to that quickly. Now, the 35 questions included on the APOR are categorized into four sections. There's a general question section, the staffing questions section, ticket client related questions section, and the fourth section, EN service related questions. So again, the APOR has 35 questions, and those questions will fall under four categories as we've just reviewed. Now, there are 11 general questions. These questions seek information relating to ticket requirements for an employment network. And in this section, the EN business model is requested. What we have found in the past from previous responses is some confusion by the term business model and or how to properly respond to the question. So for that, we have a few different models. We have a traditional EN, and with this EN, this provides employment services and other support services directly to the ticket holder. So that usually would be most of us. But we also have consumer-directed services EN, and this particular EN reimburses the ticket holder for ticket-related services purchased by the beneficiary. There's also an employer EN, and this is an EN that primarily employs ticket holders for whom it has assigned tickets. And the last model here is the administrative EN. ENs that serve as the EN of record for a network of service providers who combine their resources to provide services to ticket holders. So these are the four different ones that we have. Now, in addition to the business model, there are also questions relating to liability insurance, suitability, and the system for award management registration, or SAM. There are 9 staffing questions. These questions seek information relating to the staffing at the EN, a number of staff for ticket and verification of SSA security awareness training. So this section, of course, has to do with all of your staff. Then there are 5 ticket client-related questions which seek information regarding the ticket clients that the EN serves. For example, information regarding the number of ticket holders working full-time or average wage and employment training are subjects of some of the questions. So again, those are for ticket client-related questions. Now, for the EN service-related questions, there are 10. These questions will seek information regarding services provided by you, the EN, to the beneficiaries at all EN locations. Now, you would want to click the Done button to submit the APR to TPN. Prior to hitting Done, please ensure that you have printed each individual page to obtain a record of your responses. You can click the Previous button to go back without losing any of your answers. And remember, this needs to be submitted by March 11th to remain in compliance. Now, we did indicate that there's resources online, so if you visit the resource documents page under the Information Center to access the APR questions, also the FAQs, and today's PowerPoint. Okay. Well, now we can go ahead and open the line for any questions that you may have. Taniba?
If you would like to ask an audio question, you may do so by pressing star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star one. And our first question comes from the line of Larry Brown.
Should I begin speaking?
Yes,
hi.
Oh, okay, great. In ticket client-related questions 21 through 24, I realize the report is from January 1, 2015 to the end of the year 2015, but do those numbers reflect our total caseload, those people we had prior to the beginning of the year who received certain service, like the person who wasn't working in 2014 got placed in 2015, or do we just reflect people that we enrolled in 2015 and serviced in 2015?
Now, what you want to ensure that you're providing the information for your full caseload as of those dates, like from January 31st to December 31st, all of your clients at that point that you're servicing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it would be carryover clients from the past as well as new clients in the year. Okay.
That is correct. What was your name again, sir? I'm sorry, I missed that.
My name is Larry.
Okay, Larry.
Brown.
It would be all of those, all your ticket holders that you're servicing.
Okay, thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Sherelle Glissy.
Hi, Sherelle.
Good morning, ladies. Good morning, ladies. How are you?
Good morning. Great.
I am a new EN, and I'm currently going through the suitability process. So my agency has not started servicing consumers. So would I still have to turn in the report?
Oh, thank you for the question, Sherelle. If you yourself are still going through suitability, has your agency gone through suitability? Are you in approved status right now?
No, my whole agency and myself is going through suitability. We just got our contract.
Okay. More than likely, you may not receive it because of the status not moved from hold to approved just yet. So that,
okay,
wouldn't apply to you.
Okay. So I do not have to do this.
No, ma'am.
Okay. All right. That's what I wanted to know.
But thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, and welcome.
Thank you.
We look forward to next year's submission.
Okay. Hi, this is LaWanda Hawkins. I am the Deputy Director of at the TPM. And Sherman Gifford has a question in the chat, and he asks the question, can you read that for me, Jenny?
Sure. It says, question number 12, do you mean how many full-time staff members do you have working on Ticket to Work, even if that work is not 100% of their duties, or how many staff members do you have working full-time on Ticket to Work? They are not the same.
Yes. We want to know how many full-time staff members you have working on Ticket to Work. So that means that if you have 24 staff members and 12 of those staff members are full-time, then we want to have 12. And if the other 12 are part-time, then at question 13, then we want that other 12 number. So we want to, first we ask your full-time staff members, and then we want your part-time staff members. If you consider them full-time, even though their duties are split, then we still consider them full-time ticket-to-work employees. And if they are part-time, meaning they only work less than 30 hours a week or 32 hours a week, or however you work it at your facility, your agency, then those will be what we consider your part-time employees. Next question.
And our next question comes from the line of Adrian Wicker.
Hi. I had a question about the models allowed on the business models. Are you allowed to select more than one of those, or should you select the one that best fits?
Do you recall what you entered in your BPA?
I don't, because I'm relatively new to this company.
Okay. So if you refer to the BPA, then that would be the answer that we would receive. So I believe only will accept one.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you for that question.
But definitely refer to your BPA if you're not sure, because that would definitely give you your needed response.
All right. Thank you.
And our next question comes from the line of Walford Campbell.
Hi. Good morning. Our question was answered. We have just completed the equipped suitability, and we wanted to find out also if we needed to, you know, complete this process as well.
Yeah, if you have not completed the suitability process, then you're not considered an active EN. So you will not receive the link for the A4.
Okay.
So, again, I'm the one to hop in. So if you have not completed the suitability process, then that means that you are not actually signing tickets or working the program, so you will not receive the A4. But if you have completed the suitability process and gone through the and are now considered an active EN, you will receive the suitability process if you completed that process in 2015.
Okay. Well, we have, we've sent all our documents in, but one of our employees has been approved.
One of your employees has been approved?
Yeah.
Okay, so you may be considered an active EN. If you receive a link and you receive the A4, being a new EN, we simply ask that you can answer the questions that you can answer. We understand that you may not have a lot of ticket holders, appliances, but you are expected to answer responsive questions that you can provide responses to.
Okay.
That's when we then look at your EN profile and we post your EN profile on the website.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
One
second. That's a good follow-up to that, LaWanda. Mm-hmm. If you do receive the link, then yes, you will complete the APR. If you do not receive the link, that would then indicate that, as LaWanda mentioned, that you're not considered an active EN at the moment. We look forward to going forward. However, if you receive the link, then you'll know that you must complete that. Thank you. Taniva, you said the next question comes from who?
Elise Macy.
Okay. Hi, Elise. Thank you.
Hi, I'm fine. How are you all doing today?
Good. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having this little training. Although I did this last year, but now I'm kind of wondering how I actually did it. But just a couple questions. On number 21,
yep.
Do we just round up for that? Like, I've got 8.9. Do you want me to round up to 9?
Yes, please.
Okay. And my second question is, just to clarify, if they've had a job since 2014, do you want me to count all the months of their work or just the 12 months of 2015. Does that make sense?
Yes, good question. I would say all the months of their work.
I would say all
the months of their work, because it goes back to the same. If it's a client that you've been servicing, prior to 2015, we still want that number, just as we told Larry. So, yes.
Okay, so all months of work.
Yes.
And then okay, and I had sent an email, and I kind of got a response, but my question on this is, if they have more than one job, like a lot of my people work 3-4 different jobs in a year. So in December, do you want us to count the job they are currently on in December, or do you want me to count all the months that they worked in 2015? How do we do that?
When you, the question is to make sure I understand the question. It sounds like there's an individual that, not that they have multiple jobs at the same time, but multiple jobs throughout the year at different times.
Oh, yeah, many of my people have those. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so the question is asking.
So if you're looking at, like, number 21 or 22, I'm not quite sure how to answer that because do you want me to just include all the jobs in their gross wages from each job or just the gross wages from their most current job?
From their most current job.
That's it. Okay.
Yes. Uh-huh.
All right. Thank you so much.
Any other, do we have questions in the chat?
Thank you, Elise.
Thank you, Elise.
We do. Do you want me to
pick one? Yes. We're gonna, we think we have a few questions in the chat, so we're going to address those questions.
Okay. Here's another one from Sherman.
Hi, Sherman.
Sherman says, we would very much like to be a part or be in the 503 directory, but they will not accept our listing because of our tax status as a nonprofit. How do we answer this question?
That question pertains to question number
eight.
So question number eight is, have you registered with the Office of Federal Contract Compliance Programs, OFCCP, 503 directory? So Sherman, your question would be, your answer to that question would be no.
Okay.
Okay.
Can we go another?
Yes. No? Answer another question.
Okay, here's another question from Karen regarding question number 15.
Hi, Karen.
Can you clarify the role of benefit advisor? We have CWICs on site, but we refer the ticket to work to call the SSA hotline to refer about benefit counseling. Should I count how many CWIC staff we have? CWIC we have on staff on site, but for the ticket to work,
No.
Not sure what that says. Should I refer them to SSA to schedule benefit counseling? How should I answer number 12?
Okay. Yeah, we're talking, that question is talking about CWIC. So we're not referring to any staff at SSA. Okay?
Karen, if that doesn't answer your question, let us know.
Yes. Okay. Do we have any more questions in the chat?
Yep. There's a question from Lynn regarding question 21. Is asking the number of months between when the ticket was assigned and first employment, not the total number of months of work, correct?
What is the average number of months between the start of services and the ticket holder obtained employment? Question number 21. So the start of services is the date that the ticket was assigned.
Correct.
So that would be your date, your start of services. And the day the ticket holder obtained employment would be the first date of employment. So that is what we're looking for. Did that answer the question?
Yes, that answers.
Okay.
We actually, in FAQ, we have very specifically how to answer question 20.
Exactly. So if you have questions for question 20, ticket client-related questions, if you go to the FAQ that's posted on our Ticket to Work website under the resources for APOR, it gives you specific answers in regards to how to answer this question. So just so you can, you know, if you go back later, once you get the APOR and you're having questions again, you can go to the FAQs first, and then if you still have questions, please feel free to reach out and contact us. We'll be more than happy to help you.
Definitely. Taneva, are there any questions in queue?
Yes, we have a question from the line of Jessica Patton.
Okay. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, ladies. You just answered my question. It was regarding number 21, but I just want to verify. We assign tickets. We're an EN that works with VR, so we only assign tickets after 90 days successful case closure. So they're always working. So we would put zero?
Yes. Yes.
Perfect. Thank you.
Hello.
And we have a question from the line of Patrick Keehan.
Hi, Patrick.
Hi. Thank you for your time today. My question relates to beneficiaries that are characteristic of all ENs, I imagine, who we have assisted. They have gotten and secured employment and are currently employed, have been so for more than 18 months. Unfortunately, after we get them their jobs, they don't give us any other notice, no pay stubs, no thank you, just they take off and work. we know that they're over trial work level, and we're able to validate services and everything, but we don't know they're anywhere near what their exact earnings are. What would we do in a situation like that? We have three of them.
Ooh. I would say you want to make your best estimate with that. Considering the field and the area, that's definitely just make your best guesstimate with that.
Okay. Thank you for that.
No problem.
Who asked that question?
Patrick.
Can you get Patrick? Can you type? Can you give us your contact information? I want to follow up on that question. If you can type it into the chat, if you have, if you've already disconnected from the question. Okay. Next question.
We have a general question from Erica. If I'm in the process of training new employees within the past week, and the person has not gone through suitability, do I include them in the headcount? If I am in the process of training new employees within the past week and the person has not gone through suitability, do I include them in the headcount?
Sure. You've already hired them, and that you will consider them an employee, so I would put them in your headcount even if they have not passed suitability. So, yes.
Thank you for that question.
And we have another question from the line of Judy Anderson.
Hi, Judy.
Hi. Kind of a follow-up on Sherman's question regarding part-time staff.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of a two-parter. We have some part-time staff, like we have one administrative person who is extremely part-time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, would we count them? And then the other question is, like, we've had a lot of people go through the clearance because, like, our IT department, we have three individuals. We put them all through security clearance because even though they don't on a regular basis do ticket work, they could access the information at any point while they were doing other stuff. Should I be including them too?
I would not include your IT, but I would include the part-time administrative person.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Even though you put them through suitability, that's great because what that does is ensure that you are in compliance when it comes to PII. So that's an awesome effective practice. But as far as your count for the A4, I would not count your IT personnel.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Do we have another question?
We have a question from the line of Melanie Galazic.
Hi, Melanie.
Hi. I have a question in regard to suitability clearance. I have a staff member who had full clearance and was, you know, accessing the portal and all those kinds of things. She has since left. I have a new employee who needs clearance, and I myself am in the process of suitability clearance. I've sent in my fingerprints, but I did not finish the documentation. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to Maximus to see if they could let me know exactly where I go from here, and I haven't heard back.
Okay, because you need to reach out to the ENSB at Social Security for suitability questions and concerns and how to go through that process. They have staff specifically there to help you through the suitability process. So you would need to email enservice@ssa.gov, and they will get right back to you in regards to your suitability, making sure you include your DUNS number, and read detail about what your question is, and they will respond to you about how to get the suitability process completed and what you need to do.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
And we have a follow-up question from the line of Larry Brown.
Oh, and question number 6, Partnership Plus Agreement. In the state of Missouri, Voc Rehab has decided not to have written agreements. That we have an excellent working relationship with the state, and they've been very helpful to us in many instances. How should we answer that question? Is it a yes-no question, or can we embellish our answer?
It's a yes-no question, Larry.
It's wonderful that you have that rapport with your VR, but for the sake of the question, since you do not have something written in place, then you'd want to answer no.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Question was changed from last year, and they actually put in written for this year. So they specifically want to know the number of written partnership questions.
Okay.
And there are no further audio questions.
Do you have any questions, Michelle?
It looks like we
for everything in the chat. If you need a question answered that you did not get answered in the chat, please go ahead and enter it again.
Awesome. We'd like to just remind you that we do have personnel who are available during the day to answer any questions you have about the A4. If you are not getting your questions answered from the resources we have posted on the website, so feel free to email us. We'll get right back to you with a question, with an answer to your question or to or your concern.
Okay, here's one that I actually missed. Sorry, it's blank. He would like a further definition of 33 and 34, which are?
Number 33, does your EN offer work incentive guidance?
Guidance is what he's looking for. What specifically does guidance?
34. 34 is, does your EN offer timely progress review guidance? Guidance actually means, are you reviewing work incentives with the beneficiary? Are you reviewing TPR information with your beneficiary? If you're using the IWP that is online and if you're discussing from the RFQ, then you are actually discussing those things and providing guidance.
Yes. Does it mean that you have to have a CWIC on staff? This means that you are, if the question comes up or if you are discussing it during the IWP process and you're making your beneficiary aware of work incentives and where to go if they are have questions or concerns about work incentives and how they work. Same with tickets to time progress review. When they receive these time progress reviews, you're informing them about them and how it works. And if you're doing the IWP process and you're following along those must-haves in the IWP, then you are covering this every time you assign a ticket.
Okay,
any
good
questions?
Karen has recently taken over the program from someone else, and she is not sure about her caseload, where she has to start everything all over again. Do you have any insights to that?
Well, Karen needs to call us because that's a loaded question. We don't know where she is. Hi, Karen. We don't know where you are in the process specifically. So it just depends on how much work you've done thus far. Sounds like you've either called your ENSB. You probably should call ENSB and talk to your representative there or email enservice@ssa.gov first. And they will talk to you about where you are in this process, and they will you know, assess whether or not you need some more training as far as how the startup process goes, what you do know and what you don't know. So I will highly recommend that you contact ENSB at ssa.gov, and they will get in touch with you right away and talk you through where you are in the process and what your next steps need to be.
That's great advice. ENSB is the place to start for that. Yes.
Do we have any more questions in the chat?
That looks like it.
Okay. I want to put out one more reminder to everyone that's on a call. You want to ensure that your contact information for your EN is up to date for the A4. This year, we are not placing the link on the website. You will receive the link in an email. So if you do not receive the link in an email, then that means that we don't have your up-to-date contact information. So you want to ensure that specifically your EN other is up-to-date and is the correct person, because that is the person who will be receiving the A4 link to get it completed. And if you have any questions, concerns, or don't receive it, please be sure to contact us at the email address.
ssa@yourtickettowork.com.
Right away, so that we can ensure that you get the A4 link.
Very good. Well, ladies and gentlemen and ladies in the room, thank you for your assistance. Just a few more reminders. Thank you for joining us for the APR session today. Be sure to check your spam. And be sure to remember to put that date on your calendar. You have 30 days, which 30 days will be March 11th,
mm-hmm.
to complete the APR. And you will not receive it right after this. We have another session this afternoon. So by COB today, you should receive your APR link. So everyone have a beautiful day, and thank you again for joining us.
This concludes today's webinar. You may now disconnect.